Amen. Grab your seat, grab your Bibles. We're going to go to John chapter 8. We're doing a series right now called The Great I Am, and we are working our way through. In fact, here are all the ones we'll be looking at over the course of this series. And so last week, we looked at Jesus as the bread of life. And this Sunday, we get to look at Jesus as the light of the world. As I was thinking about Jesus being the light of the world, it got me to thinking about light bulbs. So how many TV evangelists does it take to change a light bulb? Any ideas? Well, it only takes one, but for the message of the light to continue on, you got to send in your donation today. How many Amish does it take to screw in a light bulb? What's a light bulb? There's that one. Oh, let's pick on ourselves for a moment. How many Southern Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Any guesses? 400? No. At least 15. One to actually change the light bulb, 9 to make up 3 committees to decide if they need to change the light bulb or not, and then 5 to say, I really like the old light bulb better. That's how it works a lot of times. How about agnostics? How many agnostics does it take to change a light bulb? Well, none, because agnostics, they wonder if light bulbs really exist. And then finally, how about atheists? How many atheists does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but they're still in darkness. Now that last one there has a little bit of a bite to it, doesn't it? But see, guys, that's not just true of those who are really atheists. It's actually true of every person that does not follow Jesus. The Bible says that they are in darkness. That means that even those here this morning who name the name of Jesus but do not actually follow him, did you know that you can be a Christian in name only? That you never live for him, that you never follow him? And so if that's you here this morning, you have named the name of Jesus, yet your life doesn't follow him, it doesn't reflect him, then there's a good chance that you are in darkness still. Guys, it's true of the good old boy down the road here who thinks he's going to get to heaven just by his good deeds. He hopes that his good one day outweighs the bad. He is in darkness. It's true of those practicing Judaism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Islam, Buddhism, animism, and any other form of religion under the sun. And you say, Pastor, how in just one stroke, how could you dismiss all of those other religions? And my answer simply is this, because Jesus does. Amen? He does. Listen, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we become more concerned about what Jesus says than what is politically correct. More concerned about what Jesus said than what some celebrity or politician or some newspaper or an internet article that you read. More concerned about what Jesus said than what daddy or even granddaddy said. So we turn to John chapter 8, verse 12, and we see clearly here what Jesus says about himself. John 12, verse 8 says this. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Brothers and sisters, as we come to this message this morning, those 7 words, I am the light of the world, they are massively important. Massively important. They are life-changing, life-giving. So we're going to spend a few moments this morning thinking about what it means, how Jesus and light coincide, how they come together. And so today's topic is simply this, 7 truths about Jesus and light. 7 truths about Jesus and light. Would you pray with me? Father, as we pause just a moment, we want to recognize your presence. We want to ask your Holy Spirit, Father, that you would send him to touch hearts and change minds, God. For the one who is on the fence this morning, they are teetering between light and dark. They're on the border, God, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. We pray today you help them, God, to make the decisive move to be in the light, Father, as you are in the light. And if there's one this morning, Father, who is far away in darkness, God, We pray that the light would not scare them, that they would long for the light, and today would be the day when Jesus would save them from darkness and bring them into light, which is life. And Father, for those of us here this morning who are already in Jesus and we've been with Jesus maybe for a number of years, Father, may we never grow weary of walking with you in the light. And when temptation comes, Father, help us to push back the darkness by clinging to the light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about this morning, about Jesus being light, the light of the world, the first truth about Jesus and light that I want you to see is that it's either Jesus or darkness. That's the first thing. It's either Jesus or darkness. There are only two options. There's no other light, the Bible says, except for Jesus. And to go any other way is to grope your way around in darkness. Now, how many of y'all have been to Mammoth Cave National Park, right? Well, yeah, you live here in Bowling Green. Surely you've been there. And if you go on the big cave tour, y'all remember that part where they turn out all the lights and it is utterly dark? You know what I'm talking about? Right? I mean, at that moment, I mean, the darkness is so dark, it's almost suffocating, isn't it? I mean, it's scary. I mean, you just wonder, oh my goodness, what's going on? What if the lights don't come back on? I'm going to have to grope my way around, you think, to find him. What if I trip over a stalagmite or hit my head on a stalactite? Or what if I fall off in that big, deep chasm that's in the middle there, right? I mean, to grope around in darkness is dangerous, isn't it? It's likely disastrous. But that's what people are doing spiritually when they go about this life without Jesus. They are groping about in darkness. Now, they are deceived in thinking that everything's just fine, that they see perfectly, that their way is good, but while seeing, they are blind. They are blind. In fact, you know what? They grow to love the darkness more than the light. They will run to darkness and shun light. Guys, listen. If there is terror about darkness, the terror is we can't see. But you know what? The terror in the light is we can see. And sometimes we don't want to see. We don't want the light to flood in. There is terror in light because so much of what we see in the light about ourselves and about the world, we had rather be blind to. It reveals too much about you and me. And it hurts. And so many people continue to grope about in the darkness. But the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. It's either Jesus or darkness. There's no middle ground. There's no alternative. There's no other way. It's either Jesus or darkness. The second truth this morning, as we think about the relationship between Jesus and light, is that Jesus' light is life. Jesus' light is life. Now think about for just a moment how crucial light is to life on this planet. Now you and me, we don't need sunlight directly to live, do we? I mean, we could get by, right? I mean, if we were in darkness. People do it all the time all over the world who are in prison or whatever. But think about this. If the sun ceased to shine, you and I would die because everything that we need to live would die, right? Plants need the sun and the animals that we eat the plants. And so it would be a complete catastrophic collapse. If the sun were to disappear or be blocked out, we would perish, wouldn't we? Because light is life, biologically speaking, on planet Earth. And here in John 8:12, look what Jesus is saying again. Let's look at it again. John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That means that as essential as the sun shining on planet Earth is to life here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shining light into your life is that essential as well. So much so that we could say, no Jesus, N-O, no Jesus equals no life, N-O, life. But the opposite is true. To know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know Jesus is to K-N-O-W, know life. To have Jesus is to have light, and to have light is to have life. But where does it come from? Where does that light come from? Jesus tells us, John tells us about Jesus in John 1, 1 through 4. Look at what it says. John 1, 1 through 4 says, speaking about Jesus, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Guys, right there is where it comes from. Life is in Jesus. In Him was life. His life is the light. Jesus' light is life. The third truth about Jesus and life this morning, Jesus and light, is this. And listen to me, every one of you, listen to me very closely. Anyone on earth who will follow Jesus will have the light of life. I want to emphasize for a moment the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. He's not just the light of Palestine or the light of the United States of America or of China. He's not just the light to Jewish people or Hispanics or Americans or whatever nationality or ethnicity that you want to list. He's not just the light of the wealthy or the poor or anywhere in between. He's not just the light of the Republicans or the Democrats. He's the light of the world. Guys, this is so beautiful because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you will follow Jesus, the light of life is yours. Even the most heinous of sins. And I don't want to have a testimonial time where we try to outdo one another who has done the worst thing in here. But just know this, in the Bible, Paul the apostle calls himself the chief of sinners. And guess what? The chief got saved. The chief got saved. And so if the chief got saved, what does that mean about you and me? That means every one of us, if we'll only follow Jesus, the light of life is ours. It's a purifying light. It's a cleansing light. So I declare to you today that the hope unto life is for every person who will follow Jesus. The Bible discounts no one. Now you and I do sometimes, don't we? You and I will discount people. You and I will, I don't want to talk to them about Jesus. Or maybe you don't like that kind of person. Or maybe they're a little bit scary to you. And so we'll discount them and we'll just, I'll go share with somebody else. The Bible doesn't do that. It doesn't matter. Anyone on the earth who will follow Jesus will have the light of life. The fourth truth about Jesus and light this morning that I want you to see is this. Number four, those who truly follow Jesus do not walk in darkness. Those who truly follow Jesus do not walk in darkness. Jesus says, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Do you see there? That I mean, that's making a statement. Any person who will follow Jesus, if they're really following Him, will not walk in darkness. But you know what? Probably given the size of the crowd here, there are those of you here today, under the sound of my voice, you've named in the name of Jesus, you've professed faith in Jesus, and you should be in the light. But you're walking in darkness now. Why? Why is that? The truth is because you're not really following Jesus. You're not. You're trying to be in the light. You've played games, or maybe you're still in love with your sin, or it has such a grip on you that you can't let it go. You're trying to be in the light, maybe here at church, but when you get out of church at some point in the week, you run back to darkness. Stop dabbling with the darkness. Jesus says, if you are in the light, you will not walk in darkness. So stop dabbling with it and step into the light. Ephesians 5, 6 through 13, it calls us to the light in this way. The Apostle Paul writes this, Ephesians 5, 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sins of disobedience, upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret, but when everything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible." Do you see that radical change? Don't even dabble with it. Don't even mess with it. Run from it. I beg you to search your heart this morning. Is this you? Have you claimed to be in the light, yet you walk in the darkness in the weak? I pray you would search your heart. In fact, even better than you searching your heart, would you ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart that you might be able to discern the genuineness of yourself? The presence or absence of light in your life will be the indicator for you. Those who walk with Jesus walk in the light. And if you're determined this morning that you're not a true follower of Jesus Christ, that you do not have the light of life, guess what? Jesus invites you today to step into the light, to receive Jesus and the light, that you might have life. Fifth this morning, I want to point you to this truth, and it's this. Number five, we who follow the light are to reflect the light. I said that a moment ago when I came up to pray in the beginning of the service, as we talk about shining the light of Jesus. Jesus shines it, and we are to reflect it. If Jesus is the light of the world, and if his followers have the light of life, then we as his followers are to reflect that light. We are not light collectors. We are light reflectors. That's why Jesus tells us that his followers, that we are also the light of the world. Did you know that? Jesus claims here in John 8 that he is the light of the world. But then you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, and he's talking to you and to me, his followers. And look at what he says, Matthew 5, 14. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now, wait a minute, Jesus. You just said in John 8, 12 that you are the light of the world. And now you're telling us that we are the light of the world? You see, Jesus is the light of the world, and we also are the light of the world. And that's not a contradiction. That's not a contradiction. It's just like saying that the sun is the light of the earth, and the moon is also the light of the earth. They both are, aren't they? Both are lights of the earth. But here's the deal. The sun is the source, isn't it? And in the night sky, when that moon is all lit up and bright and shining light everywhere, what's it doing? It's not the source of light. It is a reflector of light. And the same is true for you and me. Jesus is the source of the light, and we are to reflect it. As you and I live in happy obedience to God, and when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we reflect that light. Is your life doing that? Are you reflecting the light? Are you shining the light of Jesus? I pray that you are. And let me encourage you for a moment. Those of you who are shining your light, you're not hiding it under a bushel basket. You are making a difference. You are. You're making a difference. You're penetrating the darkness. Do not grow weary in letting your light shine and reflecting the light of Jesus. It might seem that you're not doing anything, that you're not making any progress. But beloved, hear me closely. The devil trembles when you reflect the light of Jesus. I mentioned Mammoth Cave a moment ago when we talked about the lights going out and how darkness can be, but do you remember that after they turn the lights out, what do? They, at least when I've been, they light one candle. Just one candle in that cave. and the darkness is gone. One candle lights up that entire cave. And so guess what? Darkness is overcome by just a little light. So let your light shine. Do not grow weary in reflecting the light of Jesus. The sixth truth I want you to see about Jesus and light this morning is this. There is coming a day when the sun will replace the sun. When the sun, S-O-N, will replace the sun, S-U-N. I love this. This is mind-blowing when you see this in the scripture. It's amazing to me. You see, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world, metaphorically speaking, right now. Metaphorically speaking, he is the light of the world. But dear one, the Bible tells us there's coming a day when Jesus will literally be the light of the world. Listen to Revelation 21, verse 22 through 27. John is telling us about his vision of heaven, and look at what he says. Revelation 21, verse 22 through 27. He said, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring her glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter into it, nor anyone who does what's detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. It says that Jesus, the Son of God, will be the Son of heaven, the light of heaven. And we read on in Revelation 22, verse 5. Revelation 22, verse 5, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Guys, that means that someday the sun, who is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will replace the sun in the sky as our light. I don't know if it'll be just done away with or if it won't even matter, right? I mean, if you shine a light in the daytime, you don't need it. You don't even recognize it. I don't know if that's how it'll be. But I know this. I know this. If you can't say amen, say wow. Because that's amazing when you think about Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered how awesome the sun is at the center of the universe? I mean, it is amazing. I don't want to burden you with all the details about the sun this morning. Just go home and read about it. And just if you read about the sun in the sky, you'll say wow. But don't miss this. God, when we enter into heaven, will not trade down. You know what I'm saying? He will not trade down. Jesus, if the sun in the sky is amazing, how much more so will Jesus in heaven be glorious, be amazing? God doesn't trade down. He trades up. Heaven will be more than now, better than now, not less. That means if the sun in the sky is awesome, then Jesus is off the charts, man. He's infinitely awesome. So I say to you, worship Jesus, follow Jesus, love Jesus. He's so worthy of being loved and followed. And finally, the seventh and final truth this morning about Jesus and light is this. The opportunity for light is dwindling. The opportunity for light is dwindling every single day. You and I, we get to experience the phenomenon of the sun rising and the sun setting. At least that's how it appears to us, right? I'm not going to get all technical, all scientific on you here, okay? And that's what it looks like, the phenomenon of the sun going up and coming down. Every day it rises, and ever how many hours later it sets. And so every day you and I have a daily reminder that the opportunity for the light is dwindling. It's getting smaller. It's getting shorter. John John 12, 35 and 36 attest to this. That's exactly what Jesus tells us here. John 12, 35 and 36. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And so, friends, I say to you this morning, Jesus is offering light to you. As he offers that light, he's offering you life. He's offering you himself. But that offer will not, it won't just go forward. It won't be held out forever. There's coming a time, and we don't know when that time will be, when God says, "That's it," and the light will become dark. The light will be removed. Notice even here in John 12, 35 and 36, that Jesus himself, he went away and that he hid himself from them. It goes on to say that later on. The opportunity for the light is dwindling. The opportunity for the light. In fact, I declare that darkness is drawing close. And so what does that mean? Guys, it's already twilight. It's already dusk. The sun is already setting. And so if you're here today, the Bible says that your time is short. You don't know how much longer you have. And this is not a tactic to scare you, although the Bible talks in these ways that you might not put it off. That if the Holy Spirit is calling you, step into the light. Come to Jesus. That today would be the day when you would run to Jesus. Believe on Jesus. Get right with Jesus before night falls. Because when the sun sets, light in this age is no more. And the opportunity to receive the light is no more. And those, the Bible says, that do not receive the light in this age will be cast out into the outer darkness of hell. But that doesn't have to be any of us. Every one of you has heard the offer from Jesus Christ this morning. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." And so if you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus. That means that you are walking in darkness. And you're doing it willfully. You are choosing to walk in darkness. You're in darkness because you want to be. You're sort of like a woman named Norina in Florida. A hurricane came and hit her house. Norina she had a house that was just severely damaged. And so she received some insurance money and began the repair work, but eventually she just decided, you know what? Because of some complications, I'm just going to live in darkness. I just won't have any electricity at all in my house. She said, "I don't need electricity. I don't need light." And so in 1992, she made that decision in the wake of Hurricane Andrew. Norina lived in that dark, unfinished house for 15 years. No heat in the winter, no air conditioner in the summer, no hot baths, no lights to light the darkness of night. And 15 years later, the mayor of Miami-Dade County, he heard about her situation, and so he called an electrician and got the electrician and Miss Norina together. And in just a few hours, she had light. She had light. She had willfully lived in light for 15 years. She had willfully lived in darkness for 15 years. And all she would have had to have done the entire time was to reach out to someone and say, "I need help. I need light." And someone surely would have came to fix her situation like they did 15 years later. I want to say to you this morning, if you are without Jesus and walking in darkness, your situation, it won't take a few hours to fix. It can be fixed instantly. In the instant that you decide to turn from sin and darkness and to Jesus in faith and love, the light of life will shine in on you. Jesus, the light of the world, will shine in on you. God desires every single one of you to be saved. God desires, in fact, He has commanded you. He has commanded you, step into the light. Is that what your heart is crying for this morning? Is your heart crying to live in the light? Perhaps your heart is saying, I want to live in the light, but it's so hard to live in the light. Will you help me? Dear one, God will always answer yes to that prayer. If you will only cry out to Him, you don't have to live in darkness. Light is being offered to you. Just step out here in a moment. Come take my hand. I want to share with you how you can know Jesus and have light and have life. Here's my prayer to close us up. May you run to the light, follow the light, and live. Let's pray together.